Then we try to cover some elements of statistics in epidemiology. What is important to understand? We will cover some of the basic concepts. We start with what I call population at risk. As we have read in definitions of epidemiology, we are interested in special populations, and we try to study how much the population is under situation giving risk for diseases. If you look at occupational hazards, for instance, that is illnesses and injuries you can get through your workplace. This is, of course, hazards which we only see in people in the workforce. So if you are not in the workforce, you are not liable to get any occupational hazards. And, of course, in the same line, cervical cancer. You will only find in a subpopulation of women. I have never seen in my many years as doctor a man with cervical cancer. Others are a little bit more tricky. You have a cascade of enzymatic reactions in the liver, NADH, and the presence of this cascade is different in different ethnic groups. So, why is this important? Well, it's important because of this cascade's job in reducing alcohol to other substances, not giving the drug abuse we see in some people. And some ethnic groups are more liable to get drunk than others. So you have populations in Eastern Asia who do not manage to drink a lot because they get ill before they get the nice reactions to alcohol. And you have populations in the opposite direction. Then we go further with the concept of incidence. How often do we find diseases in the population? So, if you look here, the number of new cases of a disease arising in a given period in a specified population. So, you look for the new cases. The period you look for these new cases is often 1 year. So you have to count, in some way or other, you have to count the number of new cases. So it's often interesting to have a statistical bureau to help you gather this information. And you calculate this incidence rate by taking the number of new cases per year divided by the population at risk. If you imagine you have some disease with 40 new cases per 100,000 inhabitants, then the denominator is the sum of all disease-free person time periods during the observation time. So you have in the bottom of this 14 on 100,000, you will count all the time that the people in the population at risk are not infected by this disease. We take it a little bit further. You see the 14 is the numerator, 100,000 is the denominator. In Norwegian we call them teller and nevner. The denominator is the sum of all disease-free person time periods during the observation time. Measuring this is, however, difficult. So often statisticians or epidemiologists, they use a slightly other method of counting. They use the cumulative incidence. It's a simpler approach. Number of people who get the disease during a year, on number of people free of the disease in the population at risk at the beginning of the period, only the beginning. And you may count the cases per 100,000 or per 1,000 population. That depends on the frequency of the cases. The cumulative incidence is then the probability that individuals in the population get a disease during the year. If the number getting the disease is high in the population, when you calculate the number of people without disease, it's important to divide by the number, for instance, 100,000 minus the numbers who got the disease. If it's 14 on 100,000, as I told you before, then it's not important to withdraw these 14. But if you have a case where, let us say, 40,000 get the disease during a year, it's important to keep in mind that it's only 60,000 people who are the population you count the risk according to. Now we introduce a new term, the prevalence. The prevalence is the number of cases at a given point in time that is both former and new cases until the day of counting. And you calculate this. The number of cases at a given point in time, you have to add the new ones last year with all the cases you already know you have, and divide it by the population at risk. So it's cases on population. How are these two concepts, incidence and prevalence, useful? The incidence expresses the risk of becoming ill and is useful for studies of causation, the reason for disease. Swine flu is then a good example. The prevalence is used when you want to study the burden of a disease in the population and its impact on health services. Then you have, for instance, schizophrenia is a good example because you will have persons with schizophrenia which started, let us say, 10, 15 years ago, and you will have new cases. So generally the prevalence rates will be higher than the incidence rates. Try to think this over. Then we have the p-values. Probability values. There is a clear need to quantify the degree to which chance variability may account for the results observed in any individual study. This is done with a test, for instance, the T-square test or T-test. The probability that an effect could have occurred by chance alone is denoted the p-value, p for probability. That is, the probability that an effect could have occurred by chance alone is denoted by the p-value. And by convention, in medical research, the p-value has to be below 0.05. That is, no more than 5% chance or 1 in 20 of an occurrence. Then the association is considered to be statistically significant at this level. Then you will have a case where in 20 trials, in just one case, you will have a very different result. A very large sample, which we often have in epidemiology and population studies, then the PVR has to be lower, because otherwise you will always find a significant difference. So in epidemiological studies, you often use 0.01 or 0.001 as the cutoff level for a significant p-value.